The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
In regard to water baptism, who can be baptized or who should be baptized? What does the Bible say? Should children be baptized? Should there be a test to pass before you can be baptized? Thank you for joining us today on Grace in Focus. This is the radio ministry and the podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. You can find out more about the Grace Evangelical Society at faithalone.org. You'll find many, many articles there and blogs and videos that we've done. And you can also find out how to get a free subscription to our magazine called Grace in Focus. That's at faithalone.org. Now with today's discussion about baptism, here are Bob Wilkin and Philippe Sterling.
Well, Philippe, I think you have a question from Doug? And it's a kind of an interesting, somewhat controversial question. Well, of course, we never take controversial questions, do we?
No, we avoid those at all costs. Right.
You go through and pick out the hardest one. All right, so what do you got?
All right. Doug asks this question. He recently just looked at a YouTube video of a pastor in its church who recently baptized a transgendered person, in this case, a female-to-male person. And he says that ignited a huge controversy. And he says concerning the testimony of that individual, you know, this person openly identified as transgendered, he was not required to make, you know, any changes to that. And he was baptized as a believer.
Didn't even have to renounce it.
Didn't have to renounce it or anything. So it says, my thought is this: if a transgender person is not too far gone and is able to transition back to their God-given gender, in essence, shouldn't they be required to have at least the commitment, you know, to that, you know, before being baptized?
And I should mention the reason we've left out the name of the pastor because we don't want to make this personal, but the pastor's actually a Dallas Seminary graduate. I graded his papers when he was at Dallas Seminary. You, I believe, were in his...
We were in the same class, knew each other from our first year to last year.
So this person is very famous, if I mention it, and he's pastoring in a Bible church, a Bible-related church. And so that's why this question comes up. Obviously, if this was in, you know, some liberal church, it wouldn't be an issue. But he's talking about a church that's understood to be pastored by a Dallas Seminary graduate and to be a Bible church. So here would be my suggestion, Philippe. Baptism, it seems to me, is designed for the new believer to publicly identify himself or herself as someone who has believed in Jesus for the promise of everlasting life. Would you agree with that?
Yes. It's basically a public testimony of come to believe in Jesus for everlasting life, and I've identified with him.
And I don't need to wait. A person doesn't need to wait weeks or months or years before they're baptized, right?
Yes. In some cases, it was immediate, such as with the Ethiopian eunuch. You know, look, water. You know, can I be baptized?
Right. And so they would be baptized. And the same thing, Acts chapter 2. There were 3,000 plus people that came to faith, and evidently they sprayed a fire hose on them. I'm not sure. I do remember being in North Carolina one time, and I saw an article in the paper about some local church that literally brought in a few fire trucks and hosed down.
So that is a major sprinkling, a kind of a powerful sprinkling.
Yeah, but they literally did that. But here would be my point. When someone is being baptized, it is a first step of discipleship, according to Matthew 28, 18 through 20, right? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations.
Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, tied to that.
Right. But before that, it's by baptizing them and by teaching.
Yes.
So baptism precedes the teaching, or at least normally it does. Today, not always. And so the point would be, when a person is being baptized, they're publicly identifying with Christ. Now, in my view, they're not promising to turn from their sinful ways. They're not promising to follow Christ, but they are recognizing that they're doing something that is publicly aligning them with Jesus and his people, right?
Yes.
So they're publicly identifying. I remember one of the guys that was slightly behind me, he might have been in your class, was a person from a Muslim country, and he had come to faith in Christ when he was at the end of high school, I believe. And he told his parents, and they said, fine, don't tell anybody. That's just something you're going to forget. And then he was told he ought to be baptized, and he went to his parents and said, I've decided I'm going to be baptized. And his parents told them, if you're baptized, we're going to hold a funeral service for you. You're going to be dead to us, and we'll never talk to you again. There'll be no inheritance for you. You're out of the family.
Yeah, just, and that goes for some people from conservative Jewish backgrounds
right.
as well. No,
and that happened with
happened.
This guy.
Yeah.
And this was like 8 years later, 6 years later, and this guy's parents hadn't talked to him since. They had no contact with him. That was a pretty steep price to pay. So some people do pay a price when they're baptized. But for the most part, all this question is asking about is, does the transgender person need to renounce it or at least say I'm willing to turn or whatever? I don't know about you, Philippe, but my answer would be absolutely not.
No, because we're making this... This slavery to sin, we might say, in essence, you know, the big thing in contrast to someone else who might say, a man who's living with a woman at a time and doesn't yet recognize that, you know, marriage is required,
right.
You know, by God. Or let's say, you know, more generally, someone with a deep anger issues, you know, do we require them to deal with that completely before they can be baptized and so on?
Right. You know, I mean, ultimately, you could go through some list. Yeah. Let's say we had 10 or 20 sins that we thought were big enough that you have to quiz the person before they can be baptized. Right. So we go through transgender, we go through homosexuality, we go through sex before marriage, right? Are you sleeping around? We go through anger, we go through jealousy, we go through envy, we talk about angry outbursts. Do you have those issues? You know, and we go through lying, cheating, stealing, and we go through whatever list we think it is. Have you turned from these things? Are you willing to turn from these things? It gets pretty complicated about who can be baptized, right?
Yeah.
And the problem with all that is you don't see any of that in Acts chapter 2 or in Acts chapter 8 with the Ethiopian eunuch or Acts chapter 8 with the Samaritans. They come to faith, they're baptized. There's nothing about some sort of a commitment to follow Christ, a commitment to obey Christ. Of course, it's understood that the person is identifying with the people of God. And so there's some sense in which it is a first step of discipleship, even if the person doesn't recognize it. But I think it's a grave mistake on the part of the pastor or whoever does the baptism. You know, you don't have to be a pastor, right, to baptize. Mm-hmm. At our church I go to now, it's a Bible church. Sometimes family members will baptize.
A father, often. That's
right.
A privilege of baptizing.
I've done that in our church.
We've given that option, you know, for a father to baptize a child.
So a person doesn't have to be ordained to perform a baptismal service. They don't have to be some professional. I would say this is an excellent question because baptism is for anybody who believes, and they don't have to meet some qualification to be baptized. Steve Elkins and I talked about this recently. There are churches that won't baptize children. Have you ever heard of that? In other words,
yes.
They want people to be at least teens before they baptize them.
Almost an age of accountability, you know, situation, coming into adult, into some mature state.
It's almost like bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah,
right,
you know, the person's 13 or whatever. And I believe the reason that the churches I've heard, for example, I was at the Shepherd's Conference back in around 2001, and I heard a youth pastor talking about how at Grace Community Church, John MacArthur's church, they don't baptize children. They typically wait until their teenage years because they want some evidence that the person is genuinely saved. So they look at their works to see, do they have enough works to convince them they're genuinely saved? If a person is genuinely born again, the moment they believe, then we don't need to wait to see some level of works, do we?
No, I mean, I baptized my son when he was 9 years old,
okay.
And my daughter when she was 7.
But there you go.
They clearly knew that Jesus had given them the gift of everlasting life. And that's all I think is required, you know, for someone to then make that public affirmation.
And you didn't evaluate, is Jesus Lord of their toys? Right?
Yeah, we'll just stop grabbing toys from each other and getting the others personally upset. Yeah.
By the way, I was talking with a seminary president one day, talking to him about free grace issues, and he said he was talking to a leading lordship person, and he said, "So do I need to tell my children, do they need to make Jesus Lord of their toys in order to be born again?" And that's where I got that from the seminary president. And I thought it was a great question, because the answer is no, we don't need to make Jesus Lord of our adult toys either. Whether it's a person is addicted to golfing or a person is addicted to gambling or addicted to alcohol or addicted to sex or whatever it is, there's no requirement that the person has to have some level of righteousness before we baptize them. I mean personal righteousness. Instead, we baptize sinners, right? We're all sinners. And, you know, that's the funny thing. When people share Romans 3:23, sometimes they share it like you're a sinner and you're separated from God. No, all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God, and that includes me.
Yes.
I fall short of the glory of God every day. And so if baptism required perfection, we wouldn't baptize anybody. And so I would say, look, baptize the transgender person, baptize the practicing homosexual, baptize the heterosexual who's sleeping with his girlfriend, baptize anybody without quizzing them, without going through some moral inventory. But after you baptize them, of course, you are going to disciple them. And over the course of the next months and years, they're going to be confronted by lots of things in their life. Not just this issue, but lots of issues.
And that's a learning experience.
You know, it is.
Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. But that takes time. That takes time.
Yeah. And we don't expect a baby Christian to get everything. So my suggestion to you is baptize anybody who is clear that by faith in Jesus, they have everlasting life and they're never going to perish. Well, thanks so much, Doug. Love the question. And remember,
keep grace in focus.
Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So stop by and get a free subscription at faithalone.org. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next episode, what does Hebrews 10 say about falling away? What does this mean? What are the consequences of falling away? Be sure to join us next time. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.